Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Where's Northbrook? I don't know where we are.
Northbrook, Illinois. So like 20 miles, maybe not, out of the north of the city of Chicago.
Oh, wait, stop. Welcome to Manic. Welcome to Manic Rambling Spiral. I am Heather B. Armstrong.
And I am John R. Bray. This is obviously a special edition. A little off our game, but we're together.
We are in the same room
for this podcast.
Almost 3 years.
3 years in October.
Yeah, and it's the first time ever for the podcast, yeah.
Yeah. We meant to record last time. That didn't work. I think it was the 26.2 miles.
It was the 26.2 miles that put a little dent into things. Yeah.
That was also a very different time for you.
Yeah.
Mentally, that was a rough that was a rough season. That was kind of the start of, or the middle of.
No, that was like, was that in October?
Yeah, October, beginning of October, like the 8th or something, yeah.
I wrote about this in my book and they cut it out because they wanted my book to be apolitical. I wrote about the fact that the election night for me was like when I went over the edge.
Okay. We watched a debate. That's right.
We did. We watched a debate. We watched him stalk her.
Right. Was that the second?
I don't
remember, it was creepy.
That debate where he stalked her. We were together when we saw that.
Yeah.
And it was the election night that sent me over the edge because I was also relaunching a website for a nonprofit, which was requiring like 19 hours a day from me.
Oh, that's right. That was then.
And Lita, you know, Lita was super upset about the whole situation. And hi, Ryan. Are the levels okay?
Mine are probably weird, but we're working on it.
We're going to check in with Ryan.
I'm just going to lean in.
At some point, what's going to happen is we're going to do a montage of Ryan running through like a field of grass and flowers, like sprinting. Is what
screaming.
We're gonna do. Screaming.
Yeah. He doesn't know we're doing it this way, and he's not going to like it.
And so when he gets the email and he gets the files, he's going to go, what the fuck?
We won't tell him. We'll just say we recorded another one. Here's two separate audio. And then he'll pick up on it.
Oh, that's right. You can't talk while I talk.
It'll be fine.
It'll be fine. Yeah. Okay. I'm in Chicago. North Shore.
It's not really Chicago. If you live in Chicago, this is a suburb, so.
Yeah, it took us an hour and a half to get here from the... Oh, I stayed in the most beautiful... And I should have taken more photos. I stayed in the most beautiful hotel. You saw it.
Right, the St. Jane. Yeah.
The most beautiful hotel in downtown Chicago, and now they have put me... I'm not complaining, because I'm not. I'm sitting on top of my suitcase right now. I'm not complaining. I am staying at a place in the suburbs of Chicago, because I'm speaking at the Botanical Gardens tonight.
Yes.
Which is north.
Of here, it's south of here.
South of here, but it's north of Chicago.
Oh, yeah, well north of Chicago, yeah.
Okay.
Because it's with Northwestern, which is on the north end of Chicago, yeah. So yeah.
Okay, so that's where we are right now.
In a wonderful hotel with...
A wonderful hotel, a double...
A brick wall like outside.
So it's got two double beds, and they told me that they couldn't have a king ready for a few hours, and I was like, I don't have a few hours.
So you actually booked... Right
no,
room.
they booked the room.
Oh,
but
that's right. And you couldn't switch
when
it.
When we got here, they were like, well, all we have left is this. And I was like, well, I got to do... Like, I got to do a podcast.
We
got to
go. Yeah.
Yeah. I got to put a sock over a microphone. Yeah. So.
But the other hotel would have actually been really good for this because we could have sat like across from each other at a table and it would have been.
Yeah, it was a beautiful. Wasn't it beautiful?
It was gorgeous. It's newer, I think. I looked it up and it's, I feel like in the last couple years maybe, or new ownership and they changed it. I feel like it's a newer hotel.
It was
like modern jazz is how they
modern jazz. It was super dark.
Yes.
I'm going to take this bracelet off because it makes a lot of noise. I'm sorry, Ryan. It was super dark inside. All the walls were like a, actually kind of what we have in our bedroom, which is like a dark, dark, dark blue or a dark green.
Right, like a matte.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a lot of velvet, a lot of like, it was beautiful.
It really was, yeah.
Yeah, I'm very lucky to have stayed there. And now we're in a Marriott hotel and it's fine.
It's very nice.
It's great.
It's very nice.
Oh, sorry, Ryan. I know I'm making it so difficult for you. I know. You're going to be so upset.
Yeah, it's going to be. I guess we should apologize to everyone because the sound is probably not going to be.
The sound is not going to be
MRS
good.
Quality.
No. Mm-mm.
But it's easier having an actual right conversation. Look at this. And
it, oh, my God. Acknowledge the crowd. Hello.
Hey, listeners.
Hi. Hi, guys. We're in. What is this suburb called?
Northbrook.
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 Okay. We're in Northbrook. At a hotel. What is this hotel? It's a
Renaissance.
A Renaissance.
Renaissance.
It's a Marriott, right?
I think
it's a Marriott. Do you know what Marriott is? Something. Mormon.
Really?
Oh yeah.
I didn't know that.
Super super Mormon. Oh my God! The secrets I could tell you.
Is there a Mormon Bible in here? It's not Mormon anymore, right?
What, Marriott?
No, that's not what they're called. They're not Mormons.
Well,
they changed their brand?
Oh, they are. What are they now?
I thought it was like something like that.
Yeah, okay, yeah, they're not Mormon. Sorry.
I just want to be respectful.
There may be an actual Book of Mormon over there in the nightstand. Marriott, no, I have. I could reveal the most incredible secret right now, but I won't.
But you should.
But I won't.
But you should. But is it about the Marriott?
Yeah. It is about Marriott, actually.
Is it good or not good?
They want to get involved in what I told you about.
Oh. Oh.
They...
It's a lovely hotel. Very nice.
They heard about what I told you about and were like, oh, well, maybe we should get involved in that. So...
I like Marriott.
I like Marriott. It's Marriott is wonderful. Amazing. It's great. It doesn't smell at all in here like a hotel. When you walked in, it smelled like a hotel, right?
They all the Marriotts smell the same. Like, you know, you could stay in this hotel in China and it would smell exactly like it does. France, same.
Right.
Which is weird.
What is this?
But also comforting.
What is that smell? What is
it? It's like the pine tree you hang in your car, except for hotels.
But what is it?
I feel like it's like a soft chemical, like a cleaning.
Is that what it is?
That's how it, not in like a hospital sterile way, but it's some sort of weird clean smell.
It's like an antiseptic.
Like the hotel version of new car smell. That's what it reminds me of.
But a new car smell is a good smell.
True, but this isn't a bad.
It's not a bad hotel.
No, it's fine. I mean,
it's fine. It is just it smells like a hotel.
Yes. And now we can both share this experience together, so it's great.
So if anybody has like an idea of what that smell is actually like what is the word? What is the word that you use to describe the smell of a hotel room? Do you have any ideas, Pete?
Septic.
There we go.
We walked into the room and I was like, this is a different hotel than the one we stayed in. Oh, here it is. Boom. Yep. Done. Yeah. So.
But you knew with that hotel, the second you walk in, that hotel was unique.
That hotel was amazing. Yeah. I did not expect that experience at all.
Right.
And I had a wonderful experience, had a great event last night, had a green room.
Ooh.
I had a green room.
Wow. So you found the stage door.
Yeah. Okay. They were able to find me, and I was able to find them. And
did you meet the other speakers?
I met... no.
I mean,
I met a few of the people who were there, like, organizing the Kennedy... So it's the Kennedy Forum. It is the Kennedy Forum. I'm going to speak into the microphone. Sorry, Ryan.
And it was you and Gina Rodriguez and L. King.
L. King.
And I know there's names I'm forgetting.
One of the Kennedys, Patrick Kennedy. Right. So he runs the forum, and there was a reception beforehand. And a couple of people who've been reading my website for 15 years, this is what happens to me.
Right.
It's not like, I've been reading your website for 4 years. It's, I've been reading your website for 15 years.
Or like since LA or something.
Yeah, you started since Lita, yeah. Right? And so she came up to me, and then her friend came up to me, and we were talking, and this guy was standing there, and he had no idea who I was. And he was just like, okay, so this was who? And we started talking. They are both from Seattle.
Okay. Were they here for this?
They were here specifically for this.
Oh, wow. Yes. Okay.
They work with the forum in Seattle for, mental health causes there. So the Kennedy Forum is run by the son of Ted Kennedy.
Okay.
And it is based on, they want to further mental health and, for anxiety and depression and bipolar and substance abuse and all sorts of causes, mental health-wise.
Okay.
And so this was a forum they hold every year. And so I was at the pre-event and these people walk up to me and we start having a conversation. And they brought up homelessness.
In the city of Chicago?
In Seattle.
Oh, in Seattle, okay.
Because they were both from Seattle.
Right, and it's far more visible there, I think. Well, I don't know if it's worse, but the weather, I think, allows it year-round, because here the winters, it exists, but it's
difficult. So that's when you start to do, like, your own mental math about homelessness, and you're like, okay, so why would the homelessness problem be bad in San Francisco?
Right.
Because in San Francisco, it's kind of like there's a little bit of a winter in July.
Right. And the winter is never bad, and the summers are rarely super hot.
Right.
So same in Portland.
Same in Portland. Yep. Same in Seattle is not that bad. I mean, it rains a lot. But right. What they've done, and we noticed this as we were driving back and forth from a couple of places, there are tent cities.
Yes.
Set up underneath underpasses
that are allowed to be there, like it's
right,
they can exist. It's the same thing in Portland, yeah.
And homelessness in Utah is a problem. It is a big deal.
Okay.
Is it a big deal here?
Remember that in Chicago it is, yeah.
Is it?
Oh yeah.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Even with the winters?
Yeah, I mean, it's harder, I think, obviously in the winter, but you still unfortunately see people out huddled in doorways or on the corners when it's single digits. The city does make an effort, and if you're from Chicago, like actually Chicago, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but they make an effort when it gets really frigid to find places that people can go, because you'll die. I mean, when it's negative 25 and wind,
right?
For 3 days, you can't sustain that.
Well, which, I mean, when I think about that in Salt Lake as well, like, why is it so bad in Salt Lake when we have so much snow and the weather is so unpredictable? And when you run for office, and we were talking about this last night, when you run for office, for any sort of office in Utah, one of your main platforms has to be homelessness. Because
it's such a big deal.
It's such a big deal. They're trying to, like, move. Well, first of all, and maybe he can actually fill in on the details. He's sitting over there, guys.
Can't see him.
The cowboy is right over there. We have an amazing program where we will provide housing for homelessness. We will actually provide apartments for people who are homeless.
And now that's part of government, or is that something the church does?
Oh, government.
Okay.
The government does this.
Okay, so the church does not.
Maybe
they do their own thing, but...
Maybe the church does their own thing. I'm sure that somebody else is more educated about what the church does, and I don't want to say anything about the Mormons right now, because we already called them the Mormons.
That's true. That's
I'm true. Sure that there's, like, a program that the Mormons are doing for the homeless, but the government provides actual apartment housing for homeless people.
Permanently? I mean, what's the...
I think it's... is it permanently, Pete?
It's as long as they need it. They send social workers once a week to help them try and get on their feet again.
Yeah.
So it's like a rehabilitation program.
It's kind of a rehabilitation program. They send us, he said, they send a social worker once a week to see how they're doing. It's a rehabilitation program.
But does it, so that sounds great to me, but there's still obviously a problem. So what's
the disconnect? What happens is that Idaho and Wyoming and other neighboring states are sending their homeless to Salt Lake.
So that's how they deal with it, is to ship them off.
Is to ship them to Salt Lake, right?
I don't understand
that. No, they ship them there. I'm not claiming that they're shipping them there in containers. They know about these programs.
Right.
And so all of these other, these municipalities in Salt Lake are trying to figure out the homeless problem, and so they want to set up homeless shelters, and they have these committees, and they have these town halls, and everybody's like, nope, we're not bringing the homeless into our city. Nope. And yeah,
but they'll be homeless forever without help, a lot of them. I mean, if you help them not be homeless, then you didn't bring homeless people into your city, you brought people into your city,
right?
Theoretically, right?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the people who live there are Latter-day Saints, so they should be in favor, right? In theory.
Wouldn't that would be Christ-like, right?
That would, so they, no comment. Yeah.
No comment. So if you're going to run for,
we just lost Cowboy.
Where did he go?
I think we scared him off. If I were him, I'd be hitting up this fancy bar. Oh,
he may have. Really quickly, I asked him to order nachos.
Oh my god.
I needed like chips and salsa and something because I was so hungry. We left that other hotel and had nothing to eat. So it's almost 3 o'clock, 2 o'clock, and we haven't had anything to eat today. So
I'm still eating all soft foods. So I'm drinking smoothies.
Oh my god, okay.
We're
gonna get back to the homeless situation really, really quickly, but you're not swollen.
Well, I think the beard hides it a little bit. I'm not as swollen as I was in the lovely video
that everyone
saw. You
don't look at all like you have been through any of this.
It hurts, and one of them looks weird. This is, So last night, my ex, Heather, got to come over and look in my mouth, which is as fun as it sounds, standing in a bathroom, holding your mouth open, so your ex can stare into it and say, yeah, that doesn't look right.
What happened?
The stitching looks off. I called the doctor. I paged the doctor.
The
and
stitching
he called.
Looks off?
Yeah, so the rest of them have like a clear stitch, right? Like you can see it's kind of the skin is stitched together.
Mm-hmm.
This one is like a lopsided stitch with a void. Like a hole. But it doesn't hurt. There's no bleeding. Like, there's no infection. So I paged the doctor, and he has no bedside manner.
You paged?
I had him. I called his answering service. They paged the doctor.
You paged
the It just sounds more official if I say I paged
him. Did you actually use the word
page? I did. They said, they're like, do you want me to page the doctor? I'm like, call him. Would be fine.
Text him?
Yeah, something. I don't know. So he got on the phone, has no bedside manner normally. It's like 9 o'clock at night. He was like a tender grandfather. He's like, so tell me what's going on. And I explained it. He's like, that's probably very normal. Sounds okay to me. You're going to come in. I get my stitches out tomorrow morning. And then I get to see everyone at the meetup. So if there is something fucked up and they have to give me Novocaine or whatever, it's going to be great.
Is that recording? It is recording, right?
It should be.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Are you sure?
Do you think anyone is going to stick with it, though, for like 20 minutes?
I don't know. Hey, guys. Got side boob here.
I don't.
I'm gonna get. Oh, I did not get the tattoo, by the way.
Well, yeah, I know.
Yeah, I haven't gotten it.
But you're going to?
I'm going to.
But
yes.
Not here.
I don't have time.
Right.
There's no time.
So Salt Lake.
Yeah, it's gonna have to be that. Yeah.
Side boob.
It could be side boob.
Side boob. You should.
But I want to. Yeah. Anyway, so you get your stitches out tomorrow.
I do. And then I can maybe eat. I don't know.
Can you eat the nachos if he brings back nachos? No.
I have had smoothies, mashed potatoes. I've been to Boston Market for mashed potatoes.
Oh, no.
So many times. I've been to Boston Market more. I think, honestly, this is the first time I've ever been to a Boston market, and I've been more times than I'm going to admit, just to get mashed potatoes. And finally, a lady there, she's like, you must have a thing.
A lady there.
There's a lady there. She's like, you must have a thing for mashed potatoes. I'm like, no, I don't. I don't even really like your mashed potatoes, but it's all I can eat. She's like, oh, everybody comes in for that.
I'm like, really? Fuck,
who comes in for that? Yeah, and mac and cheese, but I didn't get that. And I don't want to eat. I was brushing my teeth last night, and I hit, like, it bumped something.
Oh, no.
I don't want to. I just don't want to. I don't want to have a mouth anymore.
Oh, Boston Market. You're going to Boston Market.
Okay, my choices are Boston Market, KFC. And there's one that I'm missing. What am I missing? There's Popeyes. We don't have any Popeyes, but I don't have any options. I don't have any options.
I only know of Boston Market because I was actually in Boston and we passed one.
It's like a KFC.
And I was like, what is that? And he was like, yeah, that's a... You don't have that in... And I'm like, no, I don't have that in Utah, Boston.
You don't have a Boston Market?
I don't think so, no.
We do. I mean,
maybe we do, but I don't know of it.
It's like a, I don't know, a less fried version of KFC.
A less fried version.
I stopped there one night. I had, like, a friend was releasing an album, so I went to an album release thing on Saturday. I guess it was Saturday. And stopped at one on the way there at 6 o'clock. And it was a dozen old couples getting dinner. That was the... and then me. Like, ordering a vat of mashed potatoes. Yeah. It's been great. And then my ex gets to come and stare in my mouth. And that
and
was
go,
fun.
Hey, Ma. Hey, oh, Ma. Golden moon, you made it up. Because you look just like...
Bonnie Bear.
Justin Vernon. You look... Right now, you do look a little
it's
bit
the beard.
Like Justin Vernon.
I am from the North Woods, so...
You need to look at the cameras, which you need to do. Sorry, Ryan.
He wears a hat, usually.
He wears a hat, but you look a lot like he does when he's on stage.
I've not seen him.
I've seen him 3 times. Yes, you can flip your... You can fucking flip me off, man. You flip me off.
That's right. I did through the peephole.
I was on Facebook Live this morning with a mom group. Okay. And I was talking about my mother.
With a mom group?
A mom group. And I was talking about my mother and her duality. Oh, he's back. Is there nachos? There's nachos.
It's nachos. That's what it was.
You guys may have nachos. You guys want nachos? And talking about my mom, and I was like, and then my mother flipped me her middle finger. Oh, I was very, very, like, reverent about how I talked about it because I knew there were a lot of moms, you know, in the situation. So we got way off topic.
But that had to have been strange, though, because that's like 5 to 10 years ago, Heather Armstrong. Because you don't really do, like, you did Momversations, but that was a long time ago. Like, you're not the mommy blogger because
No.
Your kids are older.
No, my kids are older, so, and so nobody's interested. This is the thing. Nobody's interested in older kids, which is what I find very, 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 very interesting, is that nobody's interested in the monetization of older children.
Even brands. Is it because they're not cute? Like, what is... I could think of tons of brands where that would make sense to me for them to want to do that.
Because most brands who are selling to kids at 15 are selling to us.
Right.
And so what's the difference?
Well, the difference is, I think, if you generate demand with the kids, then it pushes the parents.
Right.
I don't know.
Except
I mean,
that, like, it's very, very different. It's like, I shop at H&M.
Right.
You shop at H&M. Forever 21.
I definitely don't shop.
Well,
there.
You don't. Well...
But
as a woman,
I understand, yeah.
But like Banana Republic, like everybody who sells to kids our age, we buy from all of that. So it's
already,
yeah.
Just okay.
We're not buying strollers and diapers,
right?
And those things that are very, very particular to that department,
right? So they want to invest in a blogger to talk about the stroller, so that I know about it and buy it,
right? So having a lot of children. Adding a new kid to your family
every couple of years
will
boost the revenue,
increase the revenue just a little bit. And so, as your children age, they are less interested in working with you.
Interesting. Which makes, because when we had Kelly Wickham Hurst on,
yes.
She said the same thing. Like, she was blogging, and I remember I referred to her as a mommy blogger, and she's like, not really, because my kids were older and no one cared.
No one cared.
That's very strange. I mean, I get it, but it's just...
It's strange because I would love for all of us who were back in the day to talk about what's going on now as our kids are 15.
Right.
And what we're having to deal with, because it's very different and it's harder in many ways.
Like, that you could band some of those people together and pitch that to some of these companies that maybe... I mean, it's like, so those of you that have girls, they're going through puberty. I mean, the boys are too, but it's more involved for girls. And I think, like, I feel like there would be an opportunity to have, but then even engage, because some of these kids who are 15, 16, 17 might want to have a say, like have a voice and contribute to that conversation.
Yeah. I mean, cool. I know, because Lita likes to tell me that, why don't you post about this thing or post about this thing?
Right.
Did you post about my dance? And I'm like, no, I didn't post about your dance because I was afraid to post about your dance because I didn't want you to scream at me.
Can she write on deuce.com? Let's let her do it. Does she listen to this? Lita, you should do that.
Lita, you should do that. My mother needs to publish something because everywhere I go, people are like, your mom.
Everybody loves. And the common theme is they all love her, but a lot of people are like, I didn't have a mom like that, and that would have changed my life.
Mm-hmm.
She seems wonderful.
My mother is a thing to be reckoned with. And actually, I posted last night, I had to do some slides for this talk at the forum, and three of them are my mother, and one of them is from high school, and one of them is from, like, I'm like 3 years old, and the other one is when she was Avon World Sales Leader. So there's like three distinct parts of her life, and I detailed what she did for me, and like that was the part I think that got to everybody.
You mean like the like helping you at that lowest point, or what do you?
Yeah, okay. Like seeing photos of her at all of those different stages was very powerful for people who had already read the book.
Okay.
Getting back to the girls who saw me in the pre-reception.
Okay.
Homelessness. Right?
Right. That's so. How we got here. This is how it happens.
Hi. I'm so not used to being on camera. I hate this.
I do too.
I hate it.
If you don't look at it, it's like it's not even
doing?
There.
Why are we doing this? I hate it. Okay, so we talked, and it's a huge, huge problem in Seattle.
Right.
And it's a huge problem in Salt Lake. It's a huge problem in Salt Lake.
It's a city problem. I mean, ultimately, like big metropolitan cities.
Right.
Like L.A., New York. I mean, they just...
Well, in New York, I guess Giuliani kicked them off the street, right?
In theory, yeah.
So, I was like, can't there be... Isn't there, like, a dude...
Keep going. This is good.
So, yeah. Isn't there like a dude tech bro like Elon
who can fix it
with VC money who can come in and go, we have a problem that we need to fix, and let us work with scientists and medical professionals and government, and with the VC money figure out this problem.
Right.
Right?
But they won't. Because they're more interested in going to space.
Well,
it's the but honestly, it's the flashy shit that they want to do. Like, I have an extra $20 billion. I'm going to build a rocket and go to Mars because then we can leave the homeless people behind. Is ultimately what that means. It's an elitist focus. Yeah.
So, I was saying to these guys last night, you know, wouldn't you, if you were a dude tech bro and you had the opportunity, sorry, dude tech bro is a word, it is a thing I can use, because if you had the VC money and you had, you know, access to medical professionals and everybody who needs to be there to solve this problem, wouldn't you want to go down in history as the person who was like, I'm going to figure this out?
Yes, but they don't think that way.
Like, I'm going to be the one who figures out this problem that we have, right? Because it's not just it's not that they don't have homes to live in. It's not that they are not cared for, it's that there is a mental health crisis.
Right. Well, that, I think that's just it. So even with like the government program in Utah, that's saying, well, we have all these homeless people. How do we get them into a better place? But how did they get there to begin with?
Right.
Like if you don't fix that, people are going to keep funneling into homelessness and then having to be helped out of it. And I'm not opposed to helping them get out, but why are they getting there? Like what is happening that's making them get there? Is this someone who was laid off and looked for a job for a year and couldn't and finally lost their home? Like what's the reason? And I know the story is different for everybody, but it's just a Band-Aid when you wait until we've hit that point.
Right.
So someone needs to look at it and say, how can we put money five steps back so that instead of getting this many homeless people, we reduce that by 75%?
Who is calling me? Oh, that's a telemarketer. Sorry about that, you guys.
It stopped.
It stopped. I stopped it with my watch,
no,
which has caused me all of my anxiety, which is why I'm here. The recording did not stop. Oh, did it?
It did. The recording did stop. We're back. Sorry. She got a phone call.
Sorry,
it's not on me.
Yeah. Sorry, Ryan. You can edit this together. I know you can.
Or not. Fill in the space with some music.
Hey,
Ma. Put Hey Ma right
in
there. Yeah.
Hey Ma. Hey Ma.
I listened to that on the way here, actually.
Oh, yeah. I listened
several
to it.
Times.
I listened to it a few times before because I had to get prepared. If we don't treat the problem, so I honestly, it sounds callous of me to say this, but I do think that this problem is so bad and it's so bad everywhere that we need to approach it as if it is a glitch, right? It's a glitch. How do we fix this glitch
right.
in the system?
Like the societal glitch
this
of homelessness.
Societal glitch.
Yeah.
And we have the most amazing minds in Silicon Valley who have all of this money. Why is no one working on this?
Right.
And I was talking to these two women about it, Linnea and Sonia, that I'm going to mention.
Very nice.
Linnea, her name is spelled L-I-N-E-A.
Do they listen?
I don't know if they listen, but I want to pronounce her name right because she said everybody gets it wrong. They pronounce it Linnea.
Okay, and it's Linnea?
It's Linnea.
Linnea, okay.
And everybody pronounces Lita's name wrong. They always call her Letta.
Okay.
And she's like, my name is not Letta. My name is not Letta. So I got on stage and I started and I said, the first thing that I need to say is that I met Linnea and Sonia tonight and I want a dude tech bro.
That's how you started your...
Uh-huh.
Very nice. Okay.
I like completely rewrote the whole speech and I was like, I want a dude tech bro with VC money to solve this problem or to at least start solving this problem.
To even... Honestly, even if they fail, to try. Like to make an effort and be like, well, that cost $50 million but didn't work. But this is what we learned. Because no one is taking those steps back to find out why we're there. And maybe not no one. There probably are people, but it needs the same funding that Amazon gets or that, what is it, the Elon's rockets, Project X. I don't know what they are.
Don't get me started on
SpaceX.
Elon.
SpaceX, that's what it is.
Please don't get me started on Elon.
Yeah, so
I could go on about Elon. I honestly think that if we just put a little bit of like
effort,
tech-mindedness, even just tech-mindedness behind
right.
this problem.
I think, but part of it though is not just the tech-mindedness; it's the compassion. Because
the
I
compassion.
Think, and
yeah.
I think it's worth mentioning because someone is going to take this out of context. It's not a problem, as in. It bothers us to see homeless, like it, we don't view homeless people as a problem.
Right.
The homelessness is a problem. But I think a lot of people see homeless people in cities and view them as a problem. And that's totally different than seeing homelessness and the condition of homelessness as a problem. And I think
right.
that's what's missing.
That's
like
what's
people
missing.
Would rather the homeless people just disappear. Like they don't have to see them. Then the problem is gone, but it's not. It still exists. You're just not paying attention.
Right. A lot of it too, a lot of people and a lot of conservative people that I'm related to.
There's some in Utah.
There's a few in Utah, would say, well, you know, some of them, and this happened very recently was it here in Chicago or where was the, yes, it was here in Chicago during the storm, the winter storm.
That like frigid cold.
The frigid right. thing that happened this last winter.
January, yep.
Was it January?
Yeah, it was like 3 days of negative double digits, like yeah. negative 20, 25.
Yeah, so there was, I heard on NPR, a woman went out and she was collecting people. She called it collecting. She was like, I was putting them in the car and driving them to the homeless shelter and making sure that they were not going to freeze to death.
Wow.
Right? And they would get up and walk out.
Of the homeless shelter?
Of the homeless shelter, yeah.
Why?
Because they didn't want the help.
Interesting.
And that is what many conservatives point to as well. The problem is that they don't want to be helped.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
They want to live on the street. They want a handout. And that doesn't get to the problem. Right?
Right.
And there's so many aspects of this. And the lead anesthesiologist, really quickly, on my study, is super outraged that it's called an opioid crisis.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, why?
Because it's not. He said it is a mental health crisis. It is not an opioid crisis. It is a mental health. It is a pain crisis.
As in, that's why people take the opioids.
Yes.
So again, that's a good example. Like, if we focus on the opioids, that's not... Even if we eliminated opioids without fixing that problem, it's going to be replaced by something else.
By something else.
So the problem is still there.
Yes. And there is... I have personal anecdotes. About people in my life who have been addicted to opioids, who have started using edibles, and they are off opioids.
Interesting. But mm-hmm. did that fix the problem, though?
Yeah. That, like, so they're managing pain. Like, some people who are in chronic pain.
Okay, for chronic pain, I understand, chronic because pain. There's not really anything you can
right.
do. But if it's mental health...
But if it's mental health...
Theoretically, there are things to at least try, right? And I'm not criticizing right. edibles. If that's working, great. But I just... Again, that's like... Something to replace the opioids, but not the thing before it.
Somebody suggested opioids to me.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
In an email, and I wanted to write back, and I was like, you don't even want to know where my brain goes on an edible. You don't want to know. Like, it is not a good thing for me to be on an edible. No. But thank you for the suggestion. Thank you.
Well, you retweeted maybe someone who was talking about buying... CBD oil, some, I don't remember what the product was, but something CBD related, and they didn't feel anxiety, and it was like she didn't really know how to be, like how to feel normal and sit there and watch a movie and not feel anxious, and that was with CBD.
Yeah.
Which is legal in a lot of places where marijuana is not even legal, which it will be here soon.
It will be here soon. Well, we voted for it, and then our legislature completely...
Squashed it.
Flipped it on its head. So, the edibles that I ever tried... a friend of mine, her friend, her very best friend, had social anxiety.
Okay.
To the point of being unable to leave her home.
Okay, so extreme.
For 10 years.
Okay.
That bad.
That's like extreme.
Extreme,
like, didn't
extreme.
Leave at all, ever?
Like
was a hermit?
Would not go to the grocery store until, like, really weird hours.
Like 1 in the morning when no one was there.
Yeah, to make sure that no one was there. She rarely left her house for 10 years, and she saw her doctor, and her doctor tried everything, and they tried therapy after therapy, and he finally, and this is before it was legal in California, he was like, well, let's try this. And she was like, okay. And
it was medically legal at the time?
It was not medically legal, no. Oh,
so he just
he brought him in.
Gotcha, okay.
He brought him in, because some doctors, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, at that point,
some doctors are ahead of their game.
And if it's like nothing has worked, you're kind of willing, right? Like, let's try anything.
Right, he was desperate for her.
Right.
And so he brought him in, and it completely changed her life.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And that's what she, like, is still...
Totally, like, she's super, like, she's just, like, super chill and leaves the house and is amazing, and...
I would love some edibles.
I had one of those edibles, and I wanted to die.
Oh, really? Yeah. What was the, is it like a...
It was a Reese's peanut butter cup.
Okay.
I ate too much. Okay. You have to eat.
You had, like, a lot of edibles?
Well, no, I didn't know.
So you just...
I just had a bite of it, and you're not supposed to have a bite.
Oh, you're supposed to just take like a nibble, like throughout the day?
Well, it depends on your like level of like how you can cope with it.
Okay, so you kind of feel it out. Like, that wasn't enough. I'm going to have a little more.
Right.
I'm good. Okay. And you just went like...
I just took a bite of it. And yeah.
So what happened?
Yeah, we got cut out on my book. I actually wrote about this in my book. I was sitting with all five of us in a hotel room in Hawaii, and I had taken half of that edible, and I realized that they knew that I was a lesbian and I did not, and so they were all laughing at me silently because I didn't realize it yet, and I suddenly realized I was a lesbian.
This just came to you, like this
kicked in when that edible kicked in. My brain went
to that space, just boom. Like, yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, they all know I'm a lesbian, and I don't know that, and now I realize it, and now I'm really, really, really embarrassed that I'm just now finding this out after everybody else knew. And it was such a paranoid thought, and I've had those paranoid thoughts before on pot. And so I left the room, and I went back to my like bedroom, and I rocked myself underneath the sheet like that for like 2 hours.
And then it went away?
Like, well, I fell asleep.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then woke up, and you were...
Mm-hmm.
And that's been the last
edible
experience.
I'll never do it again. Yeah.
I mean, you could do it with moderation.
With moderation, but it's not my thing.
You got to find what works.
Mm-hmm.
And for you, that's dying 10 times, so, you know.
Dying 10 times, yeah, that worked.
Yeah.
So, yeah, edibles. So, yeah, the homeless problem. Why don't we have an Elon for the homeless problem? I don't know, but I began my speech with that, and I was like, Linnea and Sonia, I'm here to let you know that I listen to you, and I want to talk about this. That I just want to put out in the universe that we need a dude tech bro with the VC money to do homelessness. Because if you're going to run for office, again, in Utah...
You have to...
That has to be at the top of your... Yeah. That has to be there. That and clean air quality and et cetera, et cetera. I'm pretty sure it's big here in Chicago, right?
Homelessness probably is in Chicago, but because I'm not in Chicago proper, I don't vote for any of that.
Right.
So I don't know. Okay. It's not where I live, no.
You don't have homelessness where you live?
Yeah, we do, but I mean... No one on the streets that you see on a regular basis, ever.
No, it's bad in Utah.
Yeah, no, in the suburbs, it's. I mean, I guess it'll depend on the suburbs. Some people probably have a different experience. And the closer you get to Chicago, you will have the problem. But
I have not looked at the cameras and hello. Hi.
Because it's like...
I know, it's so weird.
Yeah,
it's just... We're just going to see our side faces and our side arms and whatever.
Well, last time, I think... For the Patreon, all they saw it was like,
I know, all you Ryan was just like
this.
Heather, did you see John's video? He had a microphone in front of his face the whole time.
There was no other in my space. There was like no other place to put a camera and actually record. So
you just got really red in the face.
I know it was because as soon as I watched it, it wasn't just that it was in front of my face. It was that it was like perfectly still. It was awful.
No, you're totally fine. No.
it was bad. If you haven't seen it, you should definitely go watch it. It's not as bad as the wisdom teeth video.
The Patreon video, yes, is me sort of trying to like do the like slide camera, and he is literally sitting behind the camera like this, and it's covering his whole face. Plus, there's
like the... We normally both have these audio shields that Heather was talking about. So mm-hmm. it's like this big circle. So you could kind of just see my eyes and up. Mm-hmm. It was very awkward.
It was lovely. It was absolutely lovely.
No.
So to continue on that, I'm going to stay on track.
Let's do it.
Okay. So there is a beautiful, beautiful public library in Salt Lake City.
Okay.
That they built... was it around the Olympics that they built it?
2000.
He's so enthusiastic, isn't he?
He's a great resource, I think.
He's a great resource. He's so enthusiastic about this whole situation. So they built it around the time that the Olympics came to Salt Lake City, which was in 2002. A beautiful, gorgeous... like public library.
Huge, I imagine.
Huge, yeah. And architectural and sculptural and all of these great children's areas and all this amazing stuff. And it is now basically a place for the homeless to go. And so when they open the doors in the morning, that's where the homeless go. And so taking your kids there is, I mean... not that we're scared of homeless people, but taking your kids there is, it's awkward now because you have to watch your kids because somebody can approach them.
Oh, right, sure.
That they don't know. Somebody who has a mental health issue going on. And so it has now become basically the homeless shelter.
Right.
So this problem, and this is what I don't understand. Why wouldn't you want to go down... not that like your whole mission in life is to go down in history, but maybe it should be. If you want to send a car to the moon, dude, like why wouldn't your mission in history be, I'm going to solve this problem?
Because there's no money in it. But
there could be.
Theoretically, I guess there's no money in sending a car to the moon either.
No.
Except people think it's cool, so he gets money to do it. So if people would actually just realize the importance of fixing the issue.
If there's investment, if right. there is like a corporation, if there is a nonprofit association, if there is something where you can bring this issue to light and there's money in it.
Or not just, I mean, I guess I just think of the people like Bezos and Gates and Cook and Musk who have the money to put into it because they're clearly putting it into other things. And I know that Warren Buffett does actually very good things with his money. So does Gates, so does Cook. It's really just Bezos and Musk that don't. But I think...
Don't get me started on Elon. Just ask Pete.
He's
a good guy. No.
Oh, yeah. If they would just put some into that, even if it was for selfish, like to change their image... like, even if that was their only motivation, throw money at it and help and make a difference. I don't think anyone would necessarily care if they did it because they wanted to change their image if it worked.
Right.
It's a shitty reason to do it, but it gets done.
But it would get done. It would get done. And it would solve a lot of mental health situations in the world. Because it affects so many people. And it's the main reason people are living on the street and get kicked out and down, or they can't pay rent and they can't get their job. And then, I mean, who wouldn't be depressed after that sort of situation?
Well, and I think that's it. Then the longer that they're homeless, it's like it drives them further and further into that mental health crisis.
Right.
And that, so then it gets to the point where like they'll walk out of the shelter when it's cold and we say, well, see, they don't want help. No, maybe they've been on the street for 8 years. So there's so much going on that needs to be addressed. Or honestly, they're bitter. Like, they've been fucked over so many times that some random, I'm guessing white, I don't know, woman shuffles them into her car and brings her to a shelter. And that's not the help they need. That helps them one night. Mm-hmm. But then they're still homeless. So whether they walk out right away or the next day, nothing for them has changed. And in some situations, and this sounds terrible, but there's probably this thought that if I die in the cold,
how does he understand this without you don't experience depression, do you?
No, I don't. But I think that's probably part of it. Like, I'd rather die in the cold because then I don't have to keep doing this shit over and over every day. Right?
You,
I mean, is that...
Like, you have an understanding of this that those of us who have depression and anxiety, I think a lot of us have a lot of sympathy for homelessness.
Okay.
Whereas I think that people who don't have depression or anxiety are just like, I mean, get off the street. Like, go right. get a
Fix
job.
Your exactly, yeah.
Right?
But when you have nowhere or way to get clothes, you have nowhere or way to shower, like, if that person walks into your business, are you going to hire them? No. But then you're going to tell them to get a job. It doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
I mean, it's ridiculous. That's why the problem just continues. Yeah. Like, everyone know, it's almost like everyone knows they need help, but they don't want to be the one to give the help.
Yeah. Well, and I almost wanted to, like, say that at the beginning of my talk and then just sort of, like, put the mic down and walk away.
Have that be it?
Yeah.
Like, silence for, like, another 15 minutes.
You guys can read my book. I wrote about this treatment. I hopefully give words to anxiety and depression. But honestly, guys, why are we not putting money behind what needs to happen? And I mean, the forum, the Kennedy Forum, is attempting to do this.
Right.
In Chicago, of all places. In Chicago.
But they're also, though, you said, focused on, like, the workplace.
To a degree. This forum was based on the workplace. And somebody was like...
Like being able to recover from mental health issues and not lose your job? I mean, that's... Okay.
Being able to get mental health help while you're employed.
Without a stigma.
Without a stigma. Okay. Without, like, you know, coming back to work and having everybody go, oh, they left because they were crazy.
Right. Or without having to come back with massive debt because your insurance doesn't cover it.
Exactly.
Okay.
And I tweeted about this, and my friend Casey, who lives in Boston, they wrote me and said, there's a Kennedy in Chicago?
Kennedy's in a lot of places, I think.
And honestly, last night we were, oh my God, he was talking exactly like a Kennedy. Like, you would walk into, you could probably, like, pass the building and hear him talking, and you would go, there's a Kennedy in that building. There's a Kennedy talking in that building. Oh my God, it was totally like a Kennedy.
Yeah. Was he a good speaker? I mean,
yeah,
was he good to listen to?
Yeah, he was great. I mean, and this is a wonderful cause for him, especially given the history of his family. And it was really interesting, and I know we're getting there. So there's a woman named Kate Snow.
Okay.
Who is a host for NBC or MSNBC. Beautiful blonde woman married to a guy named... Is his name John Bro? Yeah.
John Bro?
Chris Bro.
Sorry. So they were hosting the event all day yesterday. And Chris Bro's father committed suicide a few years ago. And I was sitting next to Kate on the... airplane out to New York, excuse me, to Chicago.
So really?
We were flying from New York to Chicago. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I'm sitting next to her, and what keeps happening to me on this book tour and with this book is that I sit next to somebody on an airplane and I end up giving them the book because they've had some sort of, like, person in their life affected by...
Right, something comes up.
Yeah. Then, right. I always give away my book. I usually carry one book with me and I give it away on the airplane. Hi. Hello. And so I'm sitting down. I'm so tired. I'm so tired at that point because our flight had been delayed from LaGuardia.
Which is a great airport.
Which is a four-letter word. by like 2.5 hours. He was on a different airline. Pete was.
Right, so you're both delayed in separate
terminals.
We're
both delayed in separate terminals for 2.5 hours because it was drizzling.
Yeah.
Why are you people not prepared for drizzle?
It's not our people. It's New York.
It's
the New Yorkers.
Come on. It was drizzling. And so I get on the plane and I am just so tired. And I kind of like, I'm listening to Hey Ma, Hey Ma. I'm listening to that Bon Iver song.
Quietly hyperventilating.
Well, I'm hyperventilating. We've got to have that as the soundtrack to this episode. And I look over at her computer and I see mental health, two words on her computer screen.
Like on a slide?
Yeah. Okay. Well, no, she's like typing it out.
Okay.
I saw the words, and I didn't mean to like eavesdrop on her screen.
It's hard not to on a plane. I mean, honestly, like
you. Like you're right there. And I look over and it was like mental health. And I was like, oh God. Oh God. Oh God. Okay. So, because the men in my life, the men who care very deeply about me, have my friends and people who, my friends and him, are like, stop talking to people on planes. Stop it. Stop talking to people on planes, Heather. Stop it.
You mean you could? I just put headphones on and I don't make eye contact with anyone and it works really well.
Stop talking to people on planes. You gotta stop doing that. And I was like, I'm not gonna say anything to her. I'm not gonna say anything. I'm not gonna say anything. I'm not gonna say anything. And then all of a sudden the plane lands and we get up and I'm like, are you Kate Snow? And she's like, yeah, do I know you? And I was like, I'm speaking tomorrow. You're introducing me. I'm Heather Armstrong. And she goes, your hair was so short the last time I interviewed you.
Oh, you were interviewed by her?
Yes, like in 2010.
Was this like pixie cut days?
Yes, pixie cut days. And she looked at me and she was like, oh, that's you? And I'm like, yeah, it's me. She goes, you look so different. I'm like, I know. I look very different. But, you know, and I met his mother, the wife of the man who killed himself. And, you know, it was a really tender night for all of it. But just to have sat next to her on the airplane, I wanted to get off and I go, I didn't talk to anybody on the airplane, guys. Men. I didn't talk to any of the guys in the airplane.
But
didn't
then it was
it.
A less emotionally draining flight.
I did not talk to anyone. So, yeah. That is a piece of advice that I'm trying to heed, is not to talk to anybody in airplanes, because that's when you tend to meet the people who need you the most. So I will continue to talk to people on airplanes.
So lesson not learned, in other words. That's really what that is.
Yeah. So, yeah, Chicago, it is drizzling outside. Why is it drizzling? What is this?
But it's supposed to be nice tomorrow, Thursday.
Okay.
Which is today for all of you. And Heather has a book reading and signing. And we've got a podcast meetup. And I'm going to be there, and she's going to be there. And there's going to be food or drinks, or we honestly have no idea. But the book reading...
The book reading is at 6 o'clock at Barbara's Bookstore downtown.
In Macy's at 111 North State, I believe.
Oh my God, look at you.
Try to be prepared.
I did not know. And I did not know that we were going to be all the way up here.
Yes, we are far from there right now.
We are very far from there. Yes, and a book reading and signing. And then we are going to hang out with anybody who listens to the podcast.
Yes.
And is a huge John R. Bray fan. And
or
by
Heather
the
B. Armstrong
way,
fan. Oh, no.
We had drinks yesterday.
We did.
And the guy who sort of drinks, he comes up to the table and he is just super chill. And by the way, we're gonna go long. I don't care. So, do you care?
No.
Okay, I have time. Yeah, I have time. Hey, Ma.
Yeah, I got some time.
Hey, Ma. He was so charming, and I was just like, what is your name? And he says, Ryan. And I was like...
Heather does talk to everyone, by the way.
I talk to everybody. It's my favorite part about traveling.
And I have a story about that, because I thought of you when I was in my Lyft, but you can finish.
Okay, and then I'll let you do it.
Yeah.
I love to talk to people and get their story and learn about their lives, and there's so much to learn from people, right?
Oh, yeah.
And he... This is going to sound really white of me. It is. And I completely admit it. But he is a black man with dreadlocks, and he says, my name is Ryan. And I was like, oh, Ryan. Really? Like, your name is Ryan.
Which,
like,
is my middle name.
It's his middle name.
So we bonded. It was awesome.
Ryan was the name of my first boyfriend in high school. So when he said that, I was like, not only was I like, he's a black man named Ryan, and your middle name is Ryan.
Correct.
And then they kept high-fiving through the
whole. We did. It was good. It was good stuff.
It was really good. It was really good. And he was super sweet, and he brought us menus, and it was great.
Like, he was very chatty, and yeah, it worked.
Yeah, it worked. It worked. We met Ryan last night.
We did. And who was the other guy? Who was his replacement? We didn't talk to him. Was it Antonio?
Something like that.
Yeah. I think it might have been, but he wasn't as chatty.
He wasn't as chatty. No.
Which was fine, because we already had.
You know what? Yeah. If you're not chatty, I'm fine.
Also okay. Yeah.
Yeah. If you don't want to talk to me, I'm okay.
Right.
Yeah. But if you want to talk to me, I am ready to learn.
Well, and my lift, when okay. I get, because I took the train in yesterday.
Yeah.
And got a lift to your hotel, and I was sometimes I just space out, but I realized he was listening to NPR, which. Usually it's music when I get in. Like, that tends to be what it is. And I said, I don't hear a lot of NPR. And he started telling me that he finds it really soothing. The voices are soothing, and it helps him.
The voices are soothing.
Clear his head. Because when he was a kid, and he grew up on the south side of Chicago, and his dad was a truck driver, like a cross-country and internet, like into Canada truck driver. And when he was a kid, he would spend weeks on the road with his dad, driving across the country, listening to NPR in this truck with his dad when he was like, I think he said he did it from 10 to 13, maybe, and then he lost interest in doing it. And he was telling me all these stories about the different unloading zones and the guys who knew him there because, you know, he was his dad's son, and he's been doing it for 20 years, and it was awesome. Right. And now he's driving Lyft, this was in like a 7-minute drive. It's not a lot of time. But as soon as I mentioned NPR, he lit up. Like, he wanted to talk. He's just, I think, used to just driving because mm-hmm. most people don't.
Right. Nobody, when you ask their story, people are more often than not really ready to give it to you.
Right. Or they'll feed you enough pieces to see if you're interested.
Yeah.
Like, he said it was kind of soothing, and like, oh, why? That's interesting. I like it too, but why? Well, my dad. And then he just, that was it. It was mm-hmm. great.
And there's so much to learn right? There's so much to like glean from that little part. For that, for me, like, making friends with the people at the hotel and all of that, like, I am learning so much from these people.
Right.
That, and from the people who come to the signings and whatnot, but learning from the people who serve me, who serve other people.
Like, in the service industry, yeah.
People who serve other people have so much to teach me. And so that has been the one thing that I have taken away from this whole experience, is that I will talk to anyone who is ready to talk to me. Like, I will snap out of whatever it is, and I will be like, you want to talk? Let's talk.
Let's do it. That's a good way to be, though.
Let's do it. So, yeah, I talked about homelessness last night, which had nothing to do with my talk at all.
Not true, because it's
mental
health.
Well, it did, but then...
Not your originally planned talk.
Not your originally, yeah. Right. And I was like, Lania, I'm going to mention your name. I'm going to mention your name, and I'm going to talk about this topic. So, we are here in Chicago, North Shore, Northbrook,
and anyone who is anywhere close to Chicago or in Chicago or can make the drive or take a train should come in tomorrow evening for the book reading and signing. If you can't make it, because it starts at 6, but if maybe you can't get there until 7 or 7:30 or 8, we plan to just leave from Barbara's to go wherever. So just show up.
Yeah, just show up.
Yeah, even if you're late, it's totally fine.
They thought that it would be a great location just in case people were like leaving work.
Right, because it's in the loop, I think, like North Loop or something. Okay. Yeah,
It's in the basement of Macy's.
I don't know where in Macy's, but it is in the Macy's. It's in the Macy's building on State, and so it's easy enough to find. And I am an hour outside of the city, so I totally understand that it's. It's a trek, but it's worth it because we're here. I mean, I'm always here, but she's here, so really it's a bigger deal. But together.
We are together, yes. And this is I leave for Paris 2 weeks. Yeah. And then my kids leave. And my kids leave before I leave. And it's just all happening right now.
And somewhere between now and then is San Francisco.
Yeah.
It's a very chill summer.
Oh, God. Oh, my earpiece fell out. There we go. My earpiece fell out for the first time.
And my birthday is next week.
Your birthday is on the 21st.
Very good.
Right?
Yeah, a week from tomorrow. No, a week from Friday.
35.
Correct.
Oh, my God. 35 years old. Okay. That's right. Whoa. Wow.
Yeah.
21st. That's the solstice.
It is. That's why I said on Twitter that I'm like a cusp, like Gemini Cancer. It depends on what horoscope you're looking at.
We could go on about horoscopes all night.
We should have an episode about horoscopes.
Yes, we should have an episode about horoscopes, you guys.
And everyone who comes tomorrow should just know your sign.
Talk to me about your sign. Yeah. Like the only thing that I only know about three signs: my daughter, his sign, Pete's sign, and my sign.
Which are
Geminis are fucking crazy.
Well, yeah.
Gemini, like if you read a horoscope about Geminis, the first line is Geminis are fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Period.
And it's fair.
It's fair.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And I think I have proven it right. I have proven that horoscope with my child. And then he's in the room, so I have to be very quiet about it. But they're very, 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 very.
What's his sign?
Capricorn.
Okay.
And, spreadsheets.
So organized.
Very organized.
I respect that.
Right?
Yeah.
Return on investment.
Yeah, makes sense.
And Cancers.
Which is my other half. I get to pick one.
Cancers feel.
Yeah.
We feel.
And so imagine being fucking crazy and feeling at the same time. That is what it's like to be right on the cusp.
We feel, and we actually, if you look at the guide, Capricorns and Cancers are really good foils for each other, because the Capricorn can say, you need to stop talking to people on airplanes, mm-hmm. right?
And the Cancer can say no.
And then, Cancer can still talk to people on airplanes. And the Cancer can come to him and go, or her, and say, you know, maybe like, just, you know, touch that person or go talk to that person because right. they need you, right? We're these good foils for each other. But Cancers, as I've learned after I've read about all of this, because I didn't believe in this shit, because right. it's shit.
No
it's
one,
bullshit.
Yeah, yeah.
It's total bullshit. But then I read about, like, Geminis and Capricorns, and then me, it was just like, all Cancers can't control the emoting. And so it's something that I have to keep in check.
The emoting.
There's a lot of emoting.
That's right. But if you know, then it's easier to keep in check.
I now know. So, is he asleep?
I don't know. I can't see him. So we've gone a little long.
I know we've gone long, but let me mention this.
Yeah, yeah.
Let me mention this. We
no, he's not.
Is he watching? So, is he watching me? So we went. So we went to. There's a long story about why I went to New York on Sunday. And we stopped at the Every Mother Counts studios,
right.
offices on Monday. And because I needed to meet the new executive director and whatnot. So we go in and he sits on the couch and I'm meeting everybody. And Christy Turlington walks in, right?
Right. Who is amazing to meet in person.
Christy Turlington walks in all of her Christy Turlington glory. She is... Right?
Yeah, it's hard to describe.
He's asleep. Like, asleep on the couch. And she and I talked for, like, 30 minutes, and he didn't even, like, blink an eye. He was just out. He was asleep.
It's been a hell of a book tour, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's been a hell of a book tour that he didn't wake up when he was like, oh, Christy Turlington is in the room. Oh, got it. So... You know I love you.
Did you meet her though, Pete?
Oh, he's met her. He's met her several times.
So that's fine.
Yeah, he's already met her. Oh, yeah. It doesn't matter. Yeah. It doesn't matter that the most beautiful person in the world just walked into the room. Okay, so what do we want is drizzling outside.
We want it to stop drizzling. Heather would love for her hotel to be actually in the city of Chicago. We want as many of you as possible to show up tomorrow at Barbara's Books on 111 North State in Macy's for a book reading, signing, and a meetup for the podcast. And we also want you to find us on social media, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Manic Ramblings. What else? We want you to find us on Patreon, and thank you to our new patrons. That's patreon.com/manicramblings.
What we should do is we should do some like individual videos to thank people.
That's a
really good idea as we revamp the whole situation.
And that wouldn't actually be that difficult, like a 30-second video to say thanks.
Thank you, Ryan. I know that this is going to wreck your life.
Sorry, Ryan. If you have any questions about tomorrow's event, it's a slim chance we're going to see them and answer them in time, but you can do it on social media, or you can email stories@manicramblings.com. I think that's it. We covered it all.
Yeah, I think we covered it all.
It's still drizzling. I can see how they're looking at it.
It's
still
drizzling. It's awful. And let's see. Oh yeah. Until next time, if you know a dude tech bro who has VC money, can you put him in contact with me and let me have a little discussion?
And then you'll put him in contact with Linnea.
And put him in contact with Linnea. Or put him in contact with fucking Elon.
There we go.
Right?
Yeah, do that.
Okay. Don't get me started on Elon. Okay.
So thanks for sticking with us and watching. If you made it this far in the video without skipping, holy shit, honestly. I don't know that I would.
Look at his beard. He looks like Justin Vernon.
You can see it in person.
Hey, Mama. Hey, tomorrow. Mom. Sorry. Okay.
Many thanks to Tan Lines for the soundtrack, to Lisa Congdon for the cover art, and to Ryan Coomer for his expertise with the editing stuff.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.